Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 13th of December, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim is continuing our look at Christmas and Advent, and he's looking at being prepared for the Saviour. The reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, and that will be read by Andy. And then Tim will start his sermon.
Let's turn to God's Word now, Mark chapter 1. You've got the Bibles in front of you, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." We thank God for his living word.
Okay, how many of you have got your Christmas tree up? How many of you have bought all your presents? Wow, that's scary. How many of you have wrapped all your presents? Ooh, very impressive. Oh, I haven't got a doodah. It's all the way back there. Is it coming up? Oh, fantastic. It's very nice having a thing on the screen, but when you can't actually do anything with it, it's a bit tricky, really. Well, we do a lot of preparation for Christmas. In fact, in our house, we've now Christmased the house, okay? It's sorted. There is nothing else that is going up. Every piece of greenery has been nicked from other people's gardens. And candles have been put in place. The tree is up. We're sorted. How much do we prepare for the Saviour at Christmas time? And that's really what I want us to be thinking about this morning. If this works. Doesn't want to work. Is it working? No. It doesn't want to do it. James is staring at me. Was that me or you? Oh. This could be interesting then. I think it must be you. This doesn't seem to be very happy today. Can I nod at you? Thank you. We do so much effort around Christmas, don't we? In lots of different ways. But this morning I want to ask us that simple question. Are we prepared for the Saviour? Have we put the same amount of effort and time and energy into being prepared for him as we have for everything else? I think most of us, if we're honest, would say no. We haven't put as much effort and time and energy into being prepared for the Saviour as we have for the celebration of the festival of Christmas. You know, in the instructions about communion from 1 Corinthians, Paul uses these words: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." And we could use those same words, really, to describe our focus this morning in being prepared for the Saviour. As we receive, we're to pass it on. When we lit our first Advent candle, as we lit that Advent candle on the Advent ring, we thought about all those people who have been God's messengers to others throughout the ages. people who, like John the Baptist, prepared the way for the coming of Jesus. And the thing is, on the next thing, it sort of points out, this is what we need to be. We need to be prepared to be different. Now, we know that John the Baptist was a peculiar character. In fact, if you'd met him walking down the high street in Minehead, you would probably have passed over and walked on the other side. Let's be honest about it. He was a weirdo. He was odd, even for his generation. But the thing about John the Baptist was that he lived a life of dedication to God, and it made him stand out in his generation. In our minds, probably the most striking difference was his lifestyle. We can read that together, can't we? John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, the wild honey doesn't sound too bad, but the locusts probably we're not so keen on. But living in the desert, the camel hair coat, the locust diet, they spoke about going against the norm and living in a different way to the rest of society. He not only looked different, though, his priorities in what he said were different as well. Because he pointed to the reality of human life. He looked at the wrong that he could see all around him. And he said, God is the only one who can help here. And his message was enabling people to recognize sin for what it was and to come in repentance to God. If you like, the next thing was that he was sold out for God. And as we think about being prepared for the Saviour, are we prepared to be different? Now, don't panic. You don't have to wear camel hair. You don't even have to eat locusts. But we are supposed to be different as God's people. A little while ago, the Baptist Union had this great scheme. I love the name of it. And it was called Being Against the Stream. Anybody remember that initiative? I love that name. That actually it was about social action, about getting out there and making a difference. And being against the stream should describe what most of us need to be like living in the world in which we live in today. It's a good name, saying that as Christians we go against the current of our present society and we're willing to stand out for Jesus. And the thing is that John's focus was not on himself, but it was so that he would point the way to the coming Messiah, Jesus. He stood out, but that was not the important thing. The important focus, as we already heard earlier, was that he might help people to be ready for Jesus. His truth, his love, his power, the centre and heart of the Christmas story. And part of the calling of Jesus on our lives is to be distinctive from the society around us. And as John lived and shared a God-focused way of life, so should we. So the challenge is, our part is to be prepared to be different and to point the way to the Saviour. That's your job and that's my job. Here's another thought. It's about being prepared to join hands with all of God's messengers. And I suppose the most powerful sort of image in my mind when I was preparing for this morning was this image of joining hands. In fact, Could you do it? Just check the person next to you is awake, you know. It's quite good. Now, you're joining hands. Are they sticky? Are they cold? Who knows? Who knows? You can let go unless you're really enjoying it. Okay? The thing is, as we stand out in our society, as we reach out with the truth of who Jesus is, we don't do it alone, do we? This is not just an individual role. We come in a huge long line of people who have been touched by Jesus. Now, just for a second, I'd like you to remember who was involved in helping you come to Jesus. Who taught you? Who encouraged you? Who maybe dragged you along to a meeting? Just think of some of those individuals who've been involved in your story of being touched by the living God. Now just think, they had been touched by other people in their lives. And those individuals had been touched and brought to Jesus through other people. And the Bible indicates that we are related spiritually all the way back through history to Abraham and Moses. Isn't that incredible? You are spiritually related to the people you read about in God's Word. And it would be really interesting, wouldn't it, to be able to research our spiritual family tree. You know, those people who've been engaged in bringing others to the Saviour over the generations. Now, of course, it gets very complicated because actually we're all brothers and sisters, so it just sort of, you know, falls down at one point. Some of you here will be aware that one of the most significant people in my story was Sue. Sue, who was Winter. And Sue was my French teacher at the middle school. And Sue also ran the Christian Union that used to meet at the middle school. And being a good little boy, because I was always a good little boy, wasn't I? Thank you. I went along to that Christian Union meeting, and I can remember the theme. It's How Big Is Your God? And I can remember walking out of the library where the meeting was held and just being completely drenched in the Holy Spirit, because I'd opened myself up to how big God is in that meeting. Now, I look back in my story, and I could tell you more, but I'm not going to because I won't have time. But I can look back, and Sue was a really significant person in my walk with God. And I can remember when I was baptized over there. Mind you, I think I've told some people that when I was baptized, it was before the baptistry had been done out. And some of you will remember the hideous heating system they used to have in that baptistry. And there was a big heating pipe that went all the way around it. And when I was baptized and I came up out of the water and I was going up to the next step, and the minister held me there, my foot was against this heating pipe the whole time I was being prayed for. And I was in agony. I have not a clue what he prayed for, but I'm sure it's a deeply spiritual moment. And the thing was, at my baptism, Sue gave me some verses. And it was the first verses from Joshua. And if you like, they've been like my life verses for my Christian walk. Be strong and courageous, because you will help these people to inherit the land I've given to them. Be strong and courageous. And those words have been a continual encouragement throughout my walk with God. When it's been tough, God reminds me, be strong and courageous. Don't give up. Don't give in. So just think again of those individuals who've been significant in drawing you to Jesus. Now turn it the other way around. Can you be significant in drawing somebody else to Jesus? John was related to the prophets of the Old Testament. Shall we read together? It's written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." In fact, Jesus says that John the Baptist was the last of the prophets to come, and that he fulfilled the ministry of Elijah. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. As we approach Christmas, will we commit to joining our hands with all God's messengers through the ages in sharing our life with Jesus, with other people? Will you commit to that? My next thought's this. Are we prepared for Jesus to act? Are we prepared for Jesus to act? Or is this Christian thing just a hobby? Is it just nice to come together and feel warm and fuzzy when we come on a Sunday morning? Are we actually ready for Jesus to act? Because John had real confidence in the one who would come after him. Remember these words? This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The thing is, John's ministry was all about thinking ahead and getting things focused so that Jesus could act. The Messiah he was heralding would be the one with the power to make things happen. And John worked with really practical things like earth and water. Jesus would come bringing the spiritual power of God to transform people's lives. And the thing is, John understood his own humanness and his own weakness. His message was not just for others, but it was also speaking into his own life. He knew that the one to come would be holy, but that he wasn't. The one to come would have authority, which he didn't have. The one to come would have God's Spirit to impart, but he didn't. The preparation that he did was to enable people to recognize the Savior who was coming. A few years ago, there was this advert, wasn't there? "I can't, but I know a man who can." And I've always said that it was a useless advertising sort of initiative because I can't remember what it advertised. But I like the slogan. It's a great slogan. Now, please don't get your heads going into "what did it advertise," all right? Come back, come back. I can see some of you drifting off at that point. But that phrase might well have been used by John if he'd had an advertising budget, mightn't it? John was prepared for Jesus to act in him and preparing others to be ready for Jesus to act. And the thing is, I want to say that it's true. We have responsibilities similar to John to do our part in sharing about Jesus and pointing out the way to him for other people. Now, it's not our responsibility how they respond. Okay? Don't get into the guilt trip of feeling that it's your job to convert anybody. It isn't. It's God's job. It's his spirit that does all that work. But we are to be connected with the work of God in the lives of others. Just like you have already this morning been able to think back to those who were involved in interconnecting with the work of God's spirit in you. So you are a part of that fantastic journey for other people who you come into contact with. Here's some practical pointers to emulate, if you like, how John worked. Okay, we've already thought we're to be prepared for Jesus to act. Get that straight in our heads. Only the Holy Spirit working can transform people's lives and bring them to faith and new life in the Saviour. So, you know, don't have a God complex. It's not you. It's about him. One thing you can do practically is this. Pray expectantly. Pray expectantly for those you come into contact with. Pray expectantly for those you love. Pray expectantly for your neighbours, for your work colleagues. For those who are around you, for those you come into contact with, pray expectantly. Another thing is that we're to have faith in God's power, in God's love, in God's faithfulness. It's not about us, is it? It's actually about the one that we put our trust in. So have faith. Have confidence. How many of you are confident about your faith this morning? None of you. That's a shame. I hope inside you can say, yeah, I'm confident. Not because of me, but because of him. The other thing, and this is the one where you might feel challenged, here's a warning. We're to be ready to do our part in communicating the truth. Now, I'm still getting to know lots of you. I don't know which of you have been given the gift of evangelism. I am confident that God has given the gift of evangelism to some of you because he says in his word that he would. You might not have unpacked it or explored it yet. Just to whet your appetite, that's part of what we're going to be doing early next year. We're going to be exploring these gifts and abilities that God has given to us. We've just got to unearth them, a bit like spiritual archaeology. But the thing is that we've got to be ready, whether you have been given the gift of evangelism or not, the Bible says we are all God's witnesses. Slightly different to having the gift of evangelism. Every one of us is a witness of Jesus. The question is whether you're a good witness of Jesus or a useless witness of Jesus. Because all of us, if we have been recognized of being God's people, of being Christians, we are immediately a witness. I would hope we want to be a good witness. Wouldn't you? To be a good witness to the power and the love and the grace and the hope that we're celebrating over this time of year. Here's a really simple one. You know, I've been really disappointed over the last few weeks because every time I come to church, I've seen these. And you might say, why am I disappointed that I've seen these? They shouldn't be here. They should be out there. You're supposed to have taken these, aren't you? And use them to invite others to come and experience something of the wonder of Christmas. And if there are any left in this building after this service, I'm going to be deeply upset. Only half joking. They're useless here. They might be part of the journey of somebody's life of faith if we get them into our neighbours' letterboxes, into their hands, give them to the people that we work with, cajole our husbands or wives, you know, throw them at anybody you can meet. Who knows, it might be that significant moment in their walk with God. Genuinely, I don't want to see any of these left after this service. They're utterly useless here, but they could be a powerful tool for God out there. Okay? Who wants this one? Hey, Adam. You were given one the other week. You don't need it. Give it away. It's not yours. I think I've got another one. Here we go. Maybe like this one. There you go. You see, it's not complicated, is it? Being involved and energized and active in this life-changing message is something we can all do in big ways and in small ways. From a church point of view, when God does act, we've also got to be ready to follow up on his work. It's one of the issues, isn't it, that we've been exploring as a church. And I really want to thank those who have been part of the small groups. We had a great time this last week. We were thinking about where we were going and the future vision and all the excitement of what God is calling us to be and to do as God's church in this place. And who knows what he's going to unpack over the coming months as we continue that process. But we need to be ready to follow up when people are touched by God, don't we? We need to be ready to receive them, disciple them, love them, draw them deeper. To love and care for those that God will bring to himself. So we need to be prepared for Jesus to act. So, this morning, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the Saviour? Because in all the preparations being made this Christmas, are we prepared for the main reason for the season? Because the heart of Christmas is found in John's desire that people might be ready to receive the Saviour when he comes. That's his heart motivation. The cards, the presents, the decoration, the food, the travel are not the important thing in this special celebration. The coming of the Saviour is. How prepared are we? Are you prepared to be different? Ask yourself that question. Are we prepared to join hands with all of God's messengers? Are we prepared for Jesus to act? Interesting doing sermons. You throw it out there. You have no idea whether anybody will do anything with it. How prepared are you this morning? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for John the Baptist. We thank you for his example. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for his humanness. But there was a point when he was struggling, Lord, that he even had to say, is it really you? Or should I look for someone else? Father, he faced all the reality of what we face as human beings and as your followers today. But he was confident in your power. He was confident, Lord, that you would bring the Holy Spirit to be that inner resource in who we should be and how we should live. And this morning, Lord, we pray that we might be like John the Baptist. That, Lord, you would take us deeper in our responsibility to point the way in your coming to this world. To point the way to those that we love and care for. To point the way for those that we work with. To point the way to those who live around us. To point the way for this community to know the love of Jesus and the purpose of Christmas. I ask this morning, Lord, that you would fill us afresh with your power. Fill us, Lord, with that confidence in the gospel that we have dedicated our lives to. Fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us that we might go and be your messengers. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And the church website's also where you can find out about our Christmas services. If you're in the area, please come along, we'd love to see you. And if you'd like to know more about Christmas, I run a big Christmas site over at www.whychristmas.com that answers all of your Christmas questions. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.